Turn to Mark chapter 6. We'll read verses 30 to 44. I'll be preaching verses 33 to 44. Mark chapter 6, verse 30. Then the apostles gathered to Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said to them, "Come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while." For there were many coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. So they departed to a deserted place in the boat by themselves. But the multitude saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran there on foot from all the cities. They arrived before them and came together to him. Jesus, when he came out, saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion for them, because they were like sheep not having a shepherd. So he began to teach them many things. When the day was now far spent, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and already the hour is late. Send them away that they may go into the surrounding country and villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat." But he answered and said to them, "You give them something to eat." They said to him, "Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give them something to eat?" But he said to them, "How many loaves do you have? Go and see." And when they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then he commanded them to make them all sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in ranks, in hundreds and in fifties. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven, blessed and broke the loaves, and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the 2 fish he divided among them all. So they all ate and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of fragments and of the fish. Now those who had eaten the loaves were about 5,000 men. Well, boys and girls, some of you are studying about sheep and shepherds in your Sunday school class. As you study and work your way through Psalm 23, "The Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want." As you've been learning about this psalm, and you've been learning a little bit about sheep, and how sheep are a weak, helpless creature when left to themselves. They are prone to wander, prone to leave the good care of the shepherd, prone to find themselves in dangerous situations, threatened by dangerous animals and those who cannot defend themselves against such threats. We've also been learning about shepherds. Shepherds who are those who love the sheep. And the sheep know that. They know the name. They know the voice of the shepherd who calls their name. The shepherd, the good shepherds, care, give, protect the sheep, provide for them, make sure they're well fed, well strengthened, that they're kept from harm and danger. When they wander away, they go and find them and bring them back. Even put their own lives on the line, getting between the sheep and the lion. Or the bear, thinking of David and his own experience as a shepherd in the hillsides of Judea. And of course, as we study Psalm 23, and as you've studied Psalm 23, you've come to realize that the greatest of all shepherds is God himself. The Lord is my shepherd. He's the one who gives himself to care for his sheep. We're going to hear more of that this afternoon. Because this afternoon we're going to consider this passage, and in this passage we're going to see again that Jesus Christ is the greatest fulfillment of Psalm 23. That the Lord is my shepherd is a prophetic reference to Jesus Christ. He is the good shepherd who cares for the sheep. He is the Lord himself who cares for his people. And this good shepherd, Jesus, in the preceding context was busy training his disciples to be working in the kingdom, to be working among the sheep, to be under shepherds, as he was training them for what it was going to be for them to minister as he was ministering to those who needed his care. And he had sent them out at the beginning of the chapter in verse 7. He sent them out two by two to go and to begin ministering, to go and to begin to provide that that calling the gospel, calling sheep to come, calling believer or unbelievers to faith in Christ, calling them, going about and ministering as Christ had ministered. He had warned them as they were going out that they would face opposition, that they themselves would be threatened, that they themselves would be rejected by many. And then Mark tells us this horrific story of how showing and illustrating, indeed, the horrific threats that come against the ministers of God, the shepherds of God, when he relates the beheading of John the Baptizer, that as he was beheaded because he dared to call out Herod for his sin, and the woman that Herod was sinning with didn't like that, and at the first opportunity that she had, she took off his head. And these disciples now are coming to Jesus. And verse 30, they're coming to him, gathering to him, speaking of these things to him, and no doubt overwhelmed by the work and overwhelmed by the fear and the threats. And Jesus graciously, also their shepherd, cares for them. And he says, come, let's go aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while. They were so busy, and they had been so busy, they didn't even have time to eat, which is, in a sense, is a bit of irony there in the fact of the feeding of these multitudes that were coming to Jesus. Calls them to persevere in the ministry, seeks to continue to train them, to teach them, continues to equip them, as we see in this passage, both the power of God, but also the continued care of Christ for his sheep, teaching them even by example how they were to continue to give themselves for the sheep. In this passage this morning, brothers and sisters, we have a vivid picture of the compassion of Jesus Christ. His compassion for you and for me, how he provided then and still provides for you and me today, continues to still provide for his sheep today, that he sees your every need and he continues to give according to your need. He continues to love you as a shepherd loves the sheep, not because the sheep is so lovable, but because the shepherd is so full of love. And he continues to equip you and me to be faithful, following after him. And in Jesus Christ this afternoon, he's calling you to come to him for rest and refreshment, for security, and for help. If you're not in Jesus Christ this afternoon, the call is coming to you to hear his voice, to come and to follow him by faith, to follow this good shepherd. There isn't another. He is the good shepherd whom you need to follow. That's really what we're going to consider, verses 33 to 44. Jesus Christ is the shepherd who compassionately provides for his sheep's every need. Jesus Christ is the shepherd who compassionately provides for his sheep's every need. We're going to see those needs in two ways. First, for the soul in verses 33 and 34, and then for the body in verses 35 to 44. Your whole being cared for by this shepherd. First, this we see the care, we see the need for the soul in verse 33. Jesus had been preaching and teaching. The disciples now had come back. Jesus was taking his disciples away for a much needed vacation, time of refreshment, a time, it seems, just to have a bite to eat. But the crowd saw that he was going away. They saw him get in the boat. They saw him crossing the Sea of Galilee. They saw him departing. And they didn't like that. They wanted, they needed, they were desperate for what Jesus was telling them. And so they followed him. There weren't enough boats for them to get into. And so they followed on foot. They took the long way around on a journey of several kilometers. And as they went, the crowd grew. More people from all the cities began to gather and follow after them. And it seems there was such a desperation to get there. They were moving at such a pace that they got there before Jesus did on the boat. So he is taking the beeline approach to get there. They got there quicker. They made their way around. So when Jesus gets off the boat, what he saw was a great multitude of people, a great crowd of people. You're going to find he's going to feed 5,000 men, plus the women, plus the children. We have a giant number of people. Vacation was postponed. What would your reaction be? Sorry, you must not have got my out-of-office response. Send that to voicemail. I'm annoyed. Come back again. Come back later. Jesus' response wasn't like that. Now remember, we sit there and might say, yeah, but Jesus was God. Well, Jesus is a man. Jesus is the God-man, but he's still, in his full humanity, he was weak, he was hungry, he was tired. This is Jesus. He suffers under the infirmities that we have, the weakness of the human flesh. And so he was indeed tired. He didn't have this superhuman strength to suddenly and not need to sleep at night. Jesus was a true man. And so Jesus would have that same weakness that we would have in terms of the physical need. But of course, pure in his heart, Jesus was never selfish. And he looked. He saw the multitudes, and Mark says he was moved with compassion for them. That is, he was moved in his inner being, literally in his bowels. This is his great Greek word, splachnizo. It's just kind of this, just your guts. He was moved with compassion. He wasn't feigning it like a politician in front of a camera. He was saying, oh, I'm just so sorry that this and this and that and that happened. No, he meant it. Nobody was looking at him with a camera saying, oh, well, let's make sure you get the good reaction, get the good side of my face. No, this was his first response was compassion, moved with compassion for them. And Mark tells us why. In this vivid picture, because they were like sheep not having a shepherd. They were like sheep not having a shepherd. That's a dangerous place to be for any sheep. Lots of enemies, no food, helpless. And it's the same whether we're talking about the literal animal or we're talking about the figurative use of sheep, talking about God's sheep. Without a shepherd, without protection, it's a dangerous place to be. Many who would lead astray, many who would bring them to wander away or tempt them to wander away, needing help, but helpless. Needing his strength and provision, lest they fall prey to enemies or wander away and end up in some helpless and trapped in some situation. Now in the scriptures, if you've read from Psalm 100, you can find it frequently throughout the scriptures that God's covenant people, God's people are called the sheep, and the Lord himself is called their shepherd. Psalm 23, of course, but many other places. This is biblical language we find throughout. And God is the good shepherd, the great shepherd over the sheep. But he provides under-shepherds. He provides those under him to care for his sheep in different places. Today, ministers and elders who are shepherding the people of God. In those days, in the Old Testament, there were the prophets who were to lead the people according to the word of God, the priests who were to intercede for the people and bring atonement for their sin. There were the kings who were to lead and protect the people from those who had threatened to harm them. But so many of them were so unfaithful. They were unfaithful shepherds. Last week we read Ezekiel 34, and you can look at that passage again to find God's rebuke in just that one chapter of the unfaithful shepherds who saw their opportunity as shepherds to fatten themselves, to make themselves rich and wealthy, and to profit at the expense of the sheep. And this is what was going on in Jesus' day as well, as he dealt with the unfaithful shepherds, the leaders of the people, the religious leaders of the people, the scribes and the Pharisees, and the Sadducees, from which the priesthood came. That they were unfaithful, serving themselves, imagining themselves so great, not willing to stoop down to care for the sheep. And so while they thought themselves so holy and good as shepherds, God was holding them to account, saying, where are my sheep? And the sheep were scattered. The sheep were wandering. The sheep were not sure of which way to walk, where to go, where to turn. But Jesus would say, that's why Jesus was moved with compassion, because they were like sheep not having a shepherd. But God promised to be the shepherd of his sheep. And so in that same passage in Ezekiel 34, God says, I will shepherd my sheep. In fact, I will send my servant David to shepherd my sheep. And that servant is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, who says in John 10, I am the good shepherd. My sheep hear my voice. And this is Jesus who comes with the compassion of the good shepherd, seeing these sheep who did not have one. He is the one who came to give himself for the sheep, to give everything for them, including his own life, to lay down his life for the sheep. He who was perfectly faithful. Here in this passage, he was one who was worn out, but did not spare himself, but gave for the sheep. He sees their need. And so what does he do? It's a simple sentence, so profound and so what they needed. So he began to teach them many things. What does Jesus Christ do to these sheep that needed a shepherd? He began to shepherd them. He began to provide for them. He began to give them in their according to their greatest need, which was the need for spiritual care, spiritual guidance. The religious leaders of the day knew nothing of faith and repentance and following after God. And they weren't teaching the people that. But Jesus said, come, believe on me, the kingdom of God is at hand. Follow me in faith and repentance. Believe on me. Turn away from your sin. I myself will forgive you. I'll provide for you. I am the great Messiah promised of God who comes to bring forgiveness for sin. And you need to turn from your sin to seek forgiveness from God through me. You can't earn your way back to God. You can't try to make up for your mistakes. You can't try to put away your sin and think, I'll do a little better, then God will like me. You can't just add a bunch of laws like the Pharisees and scribes are doing, thinking, well, if I just keep a bunch of things, God will receive me back. No, Jesus was coming to say, come, follow me. He was calling the sheep. He was seeking the sheep. He's saying, God does provide a way back for wandering, lost sheep. It's in me. And he taught them with authority from the word. We find this throughout his ministry that they were amazed that he taught them as with authority, not as the scribes. Because he taught them the word of God. He is the word of God, teaching them the word of God. He provided for their souls. He provided refreshment and rest. He himself, in himself, provided the one to follow so they would be secure forever. It's the same message that comes to you today, comes to us as his church. Jesus Christ alone is the one who can provide for you. There's no one else who is able to provide, let alone wants to. And he calls, come. Come and follow me. Repent of your wandering. Repent of your drifting away, of your pursuit of other things. Come, follow me. By grace, be faithful among my sheep. As his people who wander, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. He says, come, return. Or if you've never been part of his flock, he says, come, follow me. I'll receive you as one of my sheep. He provides for the soul. Jesus Christ is the shepherd who compassionately provides for his sheep's every need. See, this compassionate care, he's moved with compassion. He puts that into action as he cares for them. He feeds them spiritually. But we see in the last part as well, Jesus provides for their whole being. He provides for them fully. Verses 35 to 44, providing for the body. Again, we see the need in verses 35 to 37. When the day was now far spent, his disciples came to him and said, this is a deserted place, and already the hour is late. Send them away that they may go into the surrounding country and villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. Jesus was preaching long. It's interesting, no one seemed to notice. The disciples did. I think they were caring for the people, but There was no complaint, no one saying, excuse me, you've preached through lunch. Can we just slow down a little bit? We need to have something to eat. They were hungry in the soul. This kind of gives you a sense of that. They were hearing things they hadn't heard before or hadn't heard in a long time or had not been taught. And they were hungry. They were soul hungry. The disciples were concerned. The day was getting long. The hour was getting late. It was starting to get dark. And they're concerned. And Mark here then begins to build a tension in the text. He begins to build us up to a great and glorious miracle. He begins to lay out the problem, but the problem starts to get worse before it gets better. First, the disciples come to Jesus, and they tell him what he should do. They tell him, we see a problem. We've already come up with a solution. Now just put it into action. Send them away that they may go into the surrounding country and villages and buy themselves bread. We don't have food here for them. There's not even enough restaurants around to go buy something. So send them so they can go find something to eat. Kind of, they got a problem they need to figure out. Jesus says to them, you give them something to eat. You give them something to eat. Which the disciples certainly didn't expect that response. They were probably incredulous at this idea. And we get this response that they said to him, what are we going to go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread? You work one day and you get one denarii. So you're talking here, 200 days worth of wages is not enough even to give them a little bit of food. Never mind the fact, where are we going to go and buy that? What in the world are you talking about? They're overwhelmed by this idea. But Jesus was testing them. He was testing their trust in him. He was testing their faith in him. Do you believe that I can provide? They had seen Jesus' power in many ways, but they didn't ask him for help. They said, we've got the problem. We've got the solution. They didn't say, Jesus, what should we do? How can we deal with this? Jesus was teaching his disciples, whom he was training to be shepherds, to say, you can only shepherd. You can only be good shepherds yourselves if you follow me. If you trust in me, if you get your strength and your provisions from me. They knew they were insufficient in themselves. Where are we going to get this money? And then where are we going to get the food? But they were never, ever insufficient in themselves. Or in Jesus, rather. Insufficient in themselves, fully sufficient in Jesus Christ. It's Jesus Christ who provides for them to be shepherds. It's Jesus Christ who equips them to be faithful servants, caring for his sheep. Remember Tom Van Manen, when he was early in Malawi, would say that, going to this place, going as our missionary to Malawi, and looking at this country that was so caught up in false preaching and teaching, in the health, wealth, and prosperity gospel. If you just believe in Jesus, everything, you'll get all you need. Then the 200 denarii wouldn't be a big problem. But he said, it's overwhelming to think, what good am I going to do to go into a country like Malawi? And he comes back to this text and he says, the Lord will provide. Without me, you can do nothing. And that's true for him across the ocean. It's true for you and me in this place, in this community, in our ministry that God has called us to. The call to trust him. Trust me. Especially in terms of our spiritual care for those around us, whether as elders of the church or as members seeking to equip and serve one another and others. We need to see the sufficiency of Jesus Christ. He is perfectly sufficient, and he can do more than we ask or think. And so this need is laid out, and Jesus provides. Still, the solution isn't quite here yet, but in verse 38, Jesus says to them, how many loaves do you have? Go and see. How much food? Well, there wasn't a lot of food in a huge crowd. There were these five loaves, which were really like buns, and two fish. Five buns, two fish, a small amount. Mark, again, building up to show us the greatness of the miracle by the sheer impossibility of feeding the crowds with such a small amount of food. But Jesus is undeterred. He commanded them He commanded his disciples to make them all sit down in groups on the green grass. There's the beautiful language. Sinclair Ferguson, I think, rightly draws a connection. The fact that Mark deliberately tells us, not just that they sat down on grass, but they sat down on green grass, should bring us back to the Lord's my shepherd. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. And what is Mark implying here as he's proclaiming throughout the gospel that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and God the Son? He's saying, here is the Lord who is the shepherd. Here is Yahweh. Here is Jehovah. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Mark saying, the Lord has come to dwell among us. This is Jesus, makes his people to lie down in green pastures. He sets them down. This is a fulfillment of Psalm 23. So they sit down in the green grass. These many groups, they're set down as if they're about to be served a feast. And yet there was only 5 loaves and 2 little fish. But the feast was indeed to come. Jesus takes the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and what does he do first? He does what we ought to do. He looked up to heaven, and he gave thanks for the food that God had provided. He blessed it, and he giving thanks for it, praising God for it, as we must do, for every good and perfect gift comes from God. Jesus wasn't oblivious to that. We pray in the Lord's Prayer, Lord, give us this day our daily bread, and Jesus was about to give them their daily bread, and this he was giving thanks to the Father of heaven who gives all things. You and I must do this, though Jesus doesn't come among us and miraculously give us, make our bread, our loaf of bread, just never lose a slice or those things. God continues to provide for you and me through ordinary means every single day. We give thanks as Jesus did. And then he began to distribute through the disciples. He was beginning to give them food. He broke the loaves and gave them to his disciples. They were handling the miracle that was happening. They were being used by him. He was showing them how to serve in his power and his strength. He was distributing through them. The food flowed. All ate. All were filled. The only limit that was evident in this feeding of the 5,000 was the appetites of the eater or the eaters. That was the only limit. And when it was all done, they took up the rest, the leftovers, 12 baskets full of fragments and of fish. There were leftovers. Jesus doesn't do little. He does more abundantly than we ask or think. And Mark leaves us with this astounding statement. Now those who had eaten the loaves were about 5,000 men. That means there were women and children not counted, but they were there too. We're talking 10,000 people, perhaps more, who ate 5 loaves and 2 fish and were satisfied. Not one complained they didn't get enough. First, Mark wants us to focus on how little there was, only 5 loaves and 2 fish. But now the focus is on how much Jesus had done. There were 5,000 fed. How did that happen? How was that even possible? Because Jesus Christ is the Good Shepherd. He's the Son of God and God the Son who is able to provide for his sheep whatever their needs, whatever they needed, he could provide for them. And he did provide for them. He is both able and willing to provide for you, his sheep. And he's the Creator. He made all things. What is it for him to create a little more? To create a little more bread and a little more fish so that others who are in need might eat it? What power Jesus had, and this was not something that was like, well, that's all he had. No, this was just a small beginning of the divine power of our God. That what need do you have that he can't provide? What need do you have that he is just overwhelmed by it? We need to be overwhelmed by his power. We need to be overwhelmed by who Jesus Christ is. And to take to our hearts the words of Christ in Matthew 6, therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. And so what does he tell us to do? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Seek him. Seek the Good Shepherd. He'll provide for you in everything you need for soul and body to serve him. Who is this Jesus Christ? He is the divine shepherd. The good shepherd who compassionately provides for his sheep's every need. As we see in this passage, Jesus provided for the most important needs of the sheep. Spiritual needs, first and foremost, through the preaching of the word, and physical through the feeding, in spite of how little he had to offer in terms of the means, 5 loaves and 2 fish, but he had everything to offer because he's Jesus. Let's consider who Jesus Christ is from the story as we apply this text. First, he is the divine shepherd filled with compassion. That's something you should walk away with this afternoon. He's a divine shepherd filled with compassion. He cares for the desperate. His ministry was one of compassion for those who were poor and destitute, wandering like sheep without a shepherd. And he poured himself out, and he pours himself out for your care as his sheep. He knew they were starving in the soul. He knew they weren't being well fed. And that's so true still today in so many places and so many churches that still dare to call themselves churches, though they're not offering what Jesus Christ offered. They're not offering the gospel. They're not offering forgiveness of sins through Jesus Christ. They're not offering good food for the soul. They need Jesus. He's the one who comes and provides. And look, Jesus didn't give the minimum, but he lavishes grace upon grace. He gives, he pours out, he fed these sheep with the richest truth of who he was, of his divine call, his divine person, his divine call, his fulfillment of prophecy, coming to them and saying, I am he that was promised for the forgiveness of sins. Everything you need to be right with God, everything you need for eternal life is in me. Provided for the soul, and then provided for them, showing his power as he provided for them bread for eating. His compassion overflows. There were leftovers. Jesus Christ does not hold back, and so don't you hold back from seeking him. Don't think Jesus probably doesn't care about my trouble. Jesus probably doesn't have time for me. Jesus really isn't that interested. He's got other sheep. They've got bigger problems. He doesn't need me. No. Jesus is the good shepherd. He has time and help, provisions for you too. Don't ask for small things because you think he's stingy. Say, I'm not going to ask for that. He probably won't even care. What's your need? Come to Jesus. He's the divine shepherd filled with compassion. He'll provide for your every need, big or small in your eyes. He can take care of them all by his power and in his compassion. Who is Jesus? Jesus is the divine shepherd who can feed your soul. Friend, if you're hearing this afternoon and you're wandering away, you're wandering around, you don't know him, you're trying to seek your own path, let me tell you right now, that path will lead to your destruction. That path will lead to an end where your soul will be lost. It's the plight of all men without Jesus Christ. It's the plight of all except those who heed the call of Jesus Christ when he says, follow me. Come, follow me. He willingly came. He came to offer himself for sinners. And he calls this afternoon, come. Not just for bread to feed the body, but come for the bread of life. I'll provide all that you need, everything that you need. You will lack no good thing. And let me tell you, he's the only one. He's the only one who can provide. He's the only one who will provide. He's the only one you want to follow. Follow me, Jesus says. And brothers and sisters in Christ, keep coming back to the Good Shepherd. Keep following, keep coming, keep coming to him. His care for you extends to everything. You've known this. You've tasted this. You've felt his comfort and his help. You've followed him and you've seen through even through the hardest times of life that he is the one who will care for you even. Just think of Psalm 23, even through the valley of the shadow of death. There's no need to fear. If you're wandering in confusion, we live in a confusing time in our world. If you're falling to some of that confusion or getting confused yourself and turned around, seek his leading. If you're wandering in sin, confess your sin and seek his forgiveness. If you're overwhelmed by guilt, seek his restoration and the assurance that he is yours and you are his. If you're fearful, scared, again, perhaps what's going on around us, or perhaps there's other things that bring fear, trust his protection. He is the good shepherd. And he says, fear not. It's because he can protect you in all times, in all circumstances. Whatever your need is, brothers and sisters, there's no need for which he will not care for you, for which he does not have compassion. But he will provide and lavish his grace upon you. And he is finally the divine shepherd who can feed your body. We take much for granted. We might even be tempted to think, and perhaps boys and girls, you might be thinking this, well, how come Jesus doesn't do this today? How come I haven't seen a group of 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish get fed in a long time or ever? No, Jesus doesn't. God still does do miracles. But that's not the ordinary way of God's provision. But we dare not make such a question when God continues to provide for us. We can forget so easily how full we are because of God's generosity. When God continues to provide for us through the ordinary ways that he provides, through work, through being able to buy groceries, to be able to work the fields and work the garden. Ordinary doesn't mean less power of God. It simply means God continues to provide daily for our needs, giving us our daily bread. And this miracle, what this does, it highlights that it is in fact God who provides for our every need. And God will always provide for our every need. That God is showing his power, and it should remind us, saying, thank you, Lord, that you continue by your power every day to give us what we need. That it is true what the psalmist says, that God's people lack no good thing. And if you're struggling to care for the body, struggling in your job, struggling without a job, struggling being underemployed, whatever it might be, however it's affecting, seek his help. The same Jesus Christ who cared then cares for you. That the Christian religion, the kingdom of Jesus Christ is not about the body. Is not about the body in its in fullness. The people here, some of them would get really wrapped up. They wanted Jesus to continue to provide food for them. This is great. He's like a living provider of manna for us. And it was about the body. That's not what the gospel is all about. But it is certainly about full care. It's certainly about God providing for us in every way, for soul and body. We are soul and body creatures. God created us this way, and God cares for us this way. And so you can continue to seek him then. Think, well, that's not a spiritual concern. It certainly is. It's a concern that God has for you. You can seek his help. He's cared for you. He still cares. And when he provides for you, as you seek, bless him. Praise his name for his provision. Do not neglect to give thanks. And then as God provides for you and overwhelms you or when his provision overflows to you, then be a blessing to others and be the means by which God provides for someone else, cares for someone else. Let's do that with hearts of thankfulness to God. He is the divine shepherd filled with compassion who can feed your soul, feed your body. He's the good shepherd who compassionately provides for his sheep's every need. So, friends, brothers, and sisters, for every need that you have for body and soul, look to the good shepherd. By grace through faith, look to him alone for your every single need. Amen. Lord our God, thank you for sending the Good Shepherd. Thank you for Jesus Christ who has come and, Lord, who continues to shepherd his sheep through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the under-shepherds that he's provided and the care in the church, continues to care for every need We thank you, Lord, for your provisions for us, for soul and body. Lord, you've given us this day. It's the Sabbath day, the day particularly to feed the soul. But throughout the week, you continue to strengthen us. You continue to help us. You continue to minister to us where we're so needy. Thank you, Lord, for providing for food and drink. And Lord, we praise and thank you that you have that we indeed lack no good thing. You give us so much. We're able to help others and serve others. And so give us a heart to do that in the name of Jesus, to love others and to share with them what they need for soul and for body. Lord, we thank you for your lavishing grace. We thank you, Lord, that these things are given to us free of charge. We thank you, Lord, that this is given to us not because we've earned it, but because you, Lord, are gracious to us. And Lord Jesus, you've earned every blessing we receive. We thank you for that. So Lord, we pray, give us to know your compassion, to love you for your compassion, and to live under your compassion day by day with a complete dependence and rest in you. You know our needs. Compassionate Lord Jesus, provide for everyone. And we pray in your name. Amen.